Have many of y'all been able to purchase a copy of the book, The Exodus Case? The Exodus Case? I know we had them for sale during the feast. Now, we've seen the film. I know y'all saw the film. We showed you the film of the mountain burned black. How many of y'all remember the picture of the beach there at Nueva Beach where they all assembled? Just think about that beach. That beautiful sunny day, you know, this time of year, I know it rains in Tennessee, but when you get to the latitude of where they were in the more desert type climates, it doesn't rain. It's gloriously sunny. The skies are crystal clear blue, and there they are on a beach. Giant beach. Y'all remember the pictures of the beach we showed the movie? The giant beach, Exodus chapter 14, verse 9. I want you to keep that beach in mind. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they encamped by the sea near Pi-Hahiroth, opposite Baal Zephon. They're on a beach. And if you remember, there's a very narrow winding trail to that beach, and there are high, mountainous, jagged rocks on either side. Once they went to the beach, there was no way out. They're on the beach. They're enjoying a beautiful spring day. They just had a tremendous Passover. God has delivered them from slavery, and now they're on the beach. You know what? When I was a young man, I thought that was the end of the world. If you could just get on the beach, that made everything right. Come on. They run around Florida and everywhere they go, life is a beach. It's on every bumper sticker on every car. Life is a beach. Life is a beach. Get on the beach. Everything's cool. Beautiful part of the Red Sea. The sea, if you remember the movie that we showed you, the sea there has got the most beautiful azure sapphire color. The water's so clean and clear right there on the beach. Beautiful, beautiful place to be, right? The promised land is only across the just a little way to the north, and right across is Midian. And they're going to go to Midian, and they're going to go to the mountain of God, and they're about to have the God encounter for generations. How many of y'all would love to have had that God encounter? Amen. When he comes down on the mountain with fire, Moses said he quaked exceedingly and was extremely fearful. So we all talk about wanting that. But how many times, you know, when God comes in the house, people get afraid? Amen. You know what allows you to be able to stand? You know, you're supposed to pray. Luke says, pray always that you be accounted worthy to stand. There's a walk. There's a walk that allows you to be worthy to stand. Come on, somebody. We preach it now. God is with them in the pillar of fire. Life is sweet. Don't you love it when that happens? God is with them in a pillar of fire by day, not by night, and a cloud by day to shade them from the sun. And there they are on the beach. So where do we go from here? Forward. From here we go forward. There's no turning back now. You realize you've come to a place from which you cannot turn back and go into Egypt. But how many of you this week had challenges? How many of you this week had Pharaoh coming to take you back into slavery? Come on, somebody. This is real. And this plays out every single year we do this. Every year you go through unleavened bread. On the lead up to Passover, you got to make bricks without straw. You ever wonder why your time gets so tight at Passover and you can't get all the stuff done and you can't figure out what happened? My life's normally together. But all of a sudden, this couple of weeks, I can't seem to get anything done. Why? Because you got to make bricks without straw. Every year. God's testing you. Will you de-leaven your house even though you don't have time? Will you make the extra effort? Are you going to make the extra examination time in your Bible? Because where do we go from here? Forward, forward, forward. So do you go back into bondage? For the Sabbath, brethren, do you go back into the bondage of stale, dry, dead church? And Coleman said the t-shirt wasn't worth buying, huh? For the spirit-filled brethren, do you go back into Sunday apostasy and the fake showmanship at church? No, we go forward. We don't go backwards. We go forward. We need the true, real, absolute, manifest presence of God Almighty in the service to lead the way. And we have it. And we have it. Both in the worship, in the move of the Spirit, and in His Word to us, the Holy Bible. Verse 21. Now when Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and a wall of water on their left. And the Egyptians pursued them. Not real bright, was it? And all of Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. And during the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire in the cloud at the Egyptian army, and he threw them into confusion, and he made the wheels of their chariots come off. You know, that's still there on the bottom of the sea. Amen. They show you that in the movie. The wheels are off the chariots. Now, obviously, those wheels don't still exist, but you have the coral formations that are in the exact shape of chariots and wagons and wheels. And a lot of bones. A lot of bones. Only place they're found. But you know what I also find? You find, you know, look, Pharaoh had a nice ride. He liked a good-looking ride. You can still see the gold rims. Y'all didn't get that. You can still see the gold rims on those in the middle of those coral formations. So the wood might have decomposed, but the gold and the silver trim on them is still there. Y'all will get that in a minute. And the Egyptians said, "Let us get away from the Israelites, for Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh is fighting for them against Egypt." And then Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh said to Moshe, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and their horsemen." And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak the sea went back into its place. And as the Egyptians were fleeing toward it, the Lord swept them in the sea, and the water flowed back and covered the chariots and the horsemen and the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea, and not one of them survived. Now, I want you to think about this. How did the God of the universe deliver them from that beach where they were trapped by Pharaoh? The Ruach HaKodesh. The Ruach, the Spirit, the wind blew all night long and made a way for them. And not any way. See, that's the thing about when you get a Spirit-filled church. Oh, the Spirit came this way and the Spirit came that way and it made this way or that way for me. No. The Spirit made exactly one way for them. Not two ways, not three ways, not four ways, not the way I had peace about or the way I felt. No. The Spirit made one way for them. And that way is His Torah. That way is His Torah. The Ruach blew the waters away and dried the ground. That represents our need to live by the Spirit of God. That means we need the full baptism of the Holy Spirit so that we can move with His wind. But if the wind blew all night and you stayed on the beach, there's a walk they had to take that morning. They had to walk it out. Amen. They had to walk it out, and you've got to walk it out. To stand on the beach and go, "Whoo, I'm in the Holy Spirit power. Oh, we have a church now." But your walk doesn't change. You didn't go anywhere. You got to walk through the path made for you, and that path is in His Torah. And you see, that's the whole point of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is so that you will have the Spirit's power to walk out His Torah. Amen. Come on, somebody. We're preaching now. Neither alone would have saved the Israelites from death. Because without the Ruach and moving in the Holy Spirit, you'd have died on the beach. You can't walk on water. I can't walk on water. Without the move of God, you have drowned in the sea or died in the hands of Pharaoh. But with the move of the Holy Spirit, it makes the way for you to walk in the Torah. But if you didn't walk, the Holy Spirit did not make any way for them, made the Torah. And they had to walk the way that God wanted, or they would have been taken captive by Pharaoh and gone back into bondage. So people tell me, we want to have Spirit-filled church without Torah. And I'm telling you, that takes you back into apostasy. It takes you back into bondage. And it makes you a slave again to sin. But Yeshua died on the cross that you would be delivered from being a slave to sin. But He gave you the Ruach so that you could actually make the walk and make the change and stand with conviction. It takes the infilling of the Holy Spirit to the baptism that comes out as an outflow. Not holding on to stagnant. An outflow. And then you have to walk that out in the Torah. You have to use that power. You have to use that extra infilling that God gives you to make the changes in your life and to stand with conviction for the move of God. What is the move of God? Living out His laws and commandments. It will never ever be any different. He's taking a people and He is... You were made of mud. You hold this treasure in jars full of clay. We all have trials. Those trials put the fire and the heat on us. So when you are willing to walk out your trials through the power of the Holy Spirit, then He takes your obedience under duress and He fires you into ceramic. Come on, somebody. That's a powerful revelation right there. If the Torah observant brethren refuse to go with the wind, they will drown. So where do we go from here? We follow the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the living God, to walk out our lives in Torah. And you'll have a wall of water on the right and a wall of water on the left because you won't be able to get out of the slot. You're in it. You've got to do it. God is showing you there's only one way. Hallelujah. Not two ways, not three ways, not four ways, not your way, not my way. It's His way or the highway, baby. And He's not changing on it. The Spirit of Jesus is never going to tell you the Torah's done away. You know, somebody was asking last night about how we do things in the Spirit sometimes. And it's like, well, you know, Jesus healed a man that was born blind. He said, I see men like trees walking. Okay, modern science has restored the sight to a person who'd never seen before, was born blind. Something was wrong with their eyes and the surgeons were able to go in there and fix it. And then he had sight. But what you don't understand is the eyes are only giving you images, splotches of color. Sight occurs in the brain. And this man, because he was born blind, did not have the program that would interpret the splotches of color. So I see the splotch of color green on the chair, but I don't know it's a chair. How did I know it's a chair? Because when I was a little tot, like these little tots, I crawled over to the chair and I felt it. And I touched it. And I realized that that color is a chair. Come on, somebody. You didn't get all that all at one time. Human beings don't come with programs, right? The only program we have is cry. Animals come with their software already preloaded. Human beings have to write their programs over a lifetime. Come on. And when you start to get all this over here, you realize that most of the programs you had when you were younger were faulty. And by the time you get old enough to actually understand what kind of programs you need and how they're supposed to work, game's over. Come on, somebody. So when you first began to see things in the Spirit of God, you don't know what you're looking at. Why? Because you've never crawled around over there and put your mouth and hands on it to find out what it is. You see stuff, but you don't know what it is. Maybe it's just flashes of light. How are you going to know that what you see in the spirit realm is genuine and real? T-O-R-A-H. That's how you know. When you're walking and living His laws and commandments, that will give you clarity of sight in the Spirit. If you're sinning and it's a way of life and you're not going to stop because you don't acknowledge it, then guess what? Your sight's always faulty and you'll always be subject to a spirit, not the Spirit. Come on now, that's some heavy stuff right there. Without the fundamental understanding of Spirit and truth, you will never understand anything in the Spirit and your life will be a confused mess of chaos. That's not God, y'all. I love people who have all these problems in their life, chaos and turmoil, and they say, oh, well, that was the Holy Ghost. But don't blame the Holy Ghost for your problems. The Holy Spirit's not going to lead you into a confused mess of chaos. The Holy Spirit's going to keep you sound and solid. It's supposed to be a ballast for you. You know what a ballast does, right? Keeps the ship from bobbing around. It means that weevils wobble, but they don't fall. Come on, weevils wobble, but they don't fall down. Come on. See, here, I'm showing my age now. See, some of y'all never heard that. It's supposed to be a ballast for you, not something that buffets you about. It's supposed to hold you straight into Torah, not something that runs you off after every tangent. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Jesus did not say all this stuff in the four Gospels about keeping the law of God to do away with it later because you walk in the power of the Spirit. It's just not true. Amen. You'll never be able to do anything that you say that you'll do if you don't have Torah. Your word will be no good. God tells you your word is supposed to be like gold. But see, when you're blown about by every wind of doctrine, you can't do that because you're always changing for the wrong things. You're supposed to be solid in the law of God. That means your word should always be straight. Your word should always be good. What did Jesus say? Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Right? How do you get that? The combination of Torah observance and spirit filled. That's what keeps you straight and solid in the track. That your yes will always be yes and your no will always be no. Not bandied about. Verse 33. For God is not a God of disorder, but a God of peace. If disorder and confusion are the pattern of your life, quit blaming God and begin to order your steps in His Word. And that will cure His problem. That will cure your problem. You've got to order your steps by the Word of God. You can't be blown about by every wind of doctrine. The Spirit of God does not lead you that way. I know that we read in John chapter 3 that the Spirit of God leads you and you'll follow the wind. But you know what? That doesn't change the immutable, never-changing permanence of the Word of God. If you're ordering and walking out your life by the Word of God, then all of the other stuff is going to begin to straighten out in your life. Look, I used to be the most impunctual person on planet Earth. I even had a saying, if you knew me very well back in the day, that if I was within 15 minutes of the time, I wasn't late. Now what do you find me? I'm always early, right? And if I'm late, there was a real problem. I used to never be punctual. I was blown about by every wind of doctrine. Well, it wasn't doctrine. Now I'm on time. Why? Because the Spirit of God is using me and taking me through the Torah, and my yes has become yes, my no has become no, and I'm not blown about all over the place anymore. Confusion doesn't reign in my life anymore. There's a clarity that comes from this combination. And we need this combination. The Torah grounds us so that we can handle the power of the Spirit of God and not blown apart. Now remember rock, right? The more you walk in Torah, the more of God's anointing you can carry. The more of God's anointing you can move in. The more clearly you see in the Spirit. The more of the Holy Spirit power that you can have. Come on, we all love to have the altar service and be overwhelmed with the Spirit of God and fall in the Spirit. We love that. I love it. But you know what? The stronger you get, the more you can handle before you're overwhelmed. Then it's really fun when you go. Huh? The more power. How many of you love to pray for somebody and actually feel it shock through your arms? Come on now, we love that, right? Well, the more of God's Torah you live, the more rock solid you become on His laws and His commandments, His Sabbath and His holy days, then the more power that can go through you without knocking you down. Come on, that's good stuff, y'all. How about when you can close your eyes and see everything in the room? How about when you can close your eyes and see all the spirit beings in the room as well as the physical beings in the room and know the motion as it's going on in real time? You don't get that kind of spiritual power when you're not living in Torah. You get it when you're following His laws and commandments and you've made them a part of your daily life. Is Jesus the God of your life? Is He truly your master? You know, we call Him Adonai. And we say, that means Lord. That's a rough equivalent in English. When you call Him Adonai, you are saying that you're His bond slave. You're not just calling Him Lord. You're saying that you're His bond slave. Bond slave means whatever He tells you. If He gets tired of your life, you die. If He gets up one morning, now obviously He doesn't get up one morning and feel this way. He gets up one morning all ornery. Things didn't go the way he wanted. Kill that one. I'm tired of him. No big deal. You in the Roman world, when you killed a bond slave, there was no recourse. There's no murder. There's no trial. There's no one's going to jail. You killed a bond slave. Big deal. You're his bond slave. It says he bought you with a price. You weren't cheap either. He had to pay a high price for you. You're his bond slave. If he tells you to keep Sabbath, then buddy, It's Sabbath. If he tells you don't put certain things in your mouth, they don't go in there. If he tells you he wants you to not eat the fruit off your trees until the fifth year, then you don't eat the fruit off the trees until the fifth year. No matter what he tells you, you have said that because you paid the price for me and redeemed me from the second death, all I have is yours, Lord.
Yes. Hallelujah.
That's why we worship the way we worship. How many of you know that the best worship you'll ever have is laying face down on the floor, prostrate before him? Why do we always talk about that? Why do we focus on that? Why is that a big issue with us? I'll tell you why. Because we're bond slaves of Christ and we understand that. And that we know that the best position for a bond slave to be in worship is prostrate before the Lord.
Yes.
You get the best word there, amen? At least I do. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Okay. I'm sorry, Genesis chapter 2. Hey, look at here. Look at here. The devil. He's coming for you. Huh? It's the last day of unleavened bread, right? Did you think he wasn't going to come? Did you think that Pharaoh was just going to let you waltz on in the promised land? We had another little meeting here back in May. Tornado sirens went off all day long. We just cranked the jams a little louder.
Hey, yeah. Because
we didn't care. Because you know what? The Lord God Almighty is in the room today. So guess what? There's no safer place than you can be than right here in this room with him. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You're free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die." Who calls the shots in your life? You or God? Deciding for yourself what and how you will do is taking of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. You will surely die and it will probably hurt. You can't decide for yourself. He bought you with a price. If you decide for yourself what is right and good and turn away from what God has told you is right and good, then you've set your own self up as your own God. You can't decide for yourself. Because the moment you begin to decide for yourself, this is what I think I'll do. I know God said that, but I'm going to do this. Then you just made yourself your own God and you pulled him off of the throne and you put yourself up there. How long do you think you can survive like that? Not long. I mean, he's God after all. He has all power and authority and we have only what he grants us. And what did he tell us? If you want to be first, make yourself last. If you want to be the greatest, make yourself the lowest. Deuteronomy chapter 30. We don't want to set ourselves up as our own God. We talked about this on the first holy day. Deuteronomy 30, verse 15. See, I've set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. We want to choose life, right? Life and prosperity. Because let's face it, without prosperity, life gets real ugly. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his decrees, and his laws, and then you will live and increase. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. We've got to keep his laws and decrees. We've got to keep his laws and decrees. Then we'll live and increase. How many of you want to increase? I like increasing. Decreasing's not fun, amen? And believe me, I've done enough decreasing to understand the difference. I've done a lot of decreasing over time. Decreasing's not fun. Decreasing doesn't feel good. Decreasing doesn't allow you to put the kind of offerings in that you want to put in. Decreasing doesn't allow you to bless other brethren. Decreasing means you're always in need and want and you don't feel good like that. You're not walking around going, "I love God," when you're being decreased. I mean, you might say it, but your heart isn't saying it. Come on, somebody. When you live and are increasing, then you feel good. Come on. You want to bless others. You want to bless God. You want to come in and praise. Now, are you going to get decreased from time to time? You better believe it. Why? To prove whether you'll walk in his way or not. Because you see, God is not going to just bless you all the time. He's going to know and he's got to know that you will praise him in the down, that you will praise him with lack, and that you're going to tithe when your bills are not there. Come on, somebody. It's going to happen. But testing is only for a time and a season. And when it's over, you're back in increase if you're doing what he says. But if you're not walking in his laws and you're not walking in his commandments, it's not testing that you're in when you decrease. It's punishment. Didn't we read all those verses before Passover? Judge yourself that you be not judged. But when God is judging you, He's doing it for your discipline and correction to get you back in line so that you will not perish with the world. And believe me, the time is almost on us when the world is going to perish. Miss Jean got a revelation and a vision coming up here this morning of the sky opening up and the Lord in the east with His hands outstretched. It's almost here, folks. We got Brother Dwayne Hopper in the house. He started this in the 1950s. Used to write in the Plain Truth and the World Tomorrow radio broadcast and the television show. He's been watching this since for 50 years. Does it look closer now, brother, or further away? Hey, he'll tell you. They were calling these shots and telling you how this was going to work out in your newspaper 60 years ago. Am I right, brother? Everything they told us the way it was going to happen in prophecy is coming to pass every single day on Fox News. Someone wanted me to follow this Islamic Antichrist thing. I'm like, how can I? Everything they taught me in Worldwide is happening exactly the way they said. Why would I change now that it's working out? You know, to change back before it was all happening, well, maybe, you know, this one or that one. But no, when it's happening exactly the way they told us, why would I abandon ship now? This is the time to stand up and get strong, isn't it? But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you're drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, then I declare to you this day, you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you're crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call heaven and earth against you as witnesses that I've set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to His voice and hold fast to Him. For the Lord is your life, and He will give you many years in the land He swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Do you like hearing the voice of the Lord? You like hearing His voice? Do you like knowing the comfort of hearing the voice of the Lord and knowing that He is with you on a day-by-day basis? Do you know how few churches have people, and as many people as we have, that say that they hear the voice of the Lord? Most churches, most people never hear the voice of the Lord. And yet we have virtually everybody in here saying, the Lord spoke to me and said... The Lord spoke to me and said, if we need, we just go around that hallway over there. Well, around the front desk in that hall is better, but yeah. No, we're not going to stop preaching. Look, the devil can bring all the tornadoes he wants to, but I really don't care. I just don't care. I've been through enough of these already. You know, they had one come through here. You know, we had the first holy day, and the funnel cloud went right over this hotel, and Dan was standing outside and saw the water lift up out of the pool. And he was out there rebuking the storm, baby. Hey, he wasn't afraid. Like he said, I've been in the presence of the eternal God today. What's the storm going to do to me, man? This is nothing, right? That's the difference between having stale, dry, dead church that the Lord doesn't show up to and having spirit-filled church with Torah-observant people where He actually shows up and walks around and touches people. When you've been sitting here worshiping and you feel a hand on your back and look around and nobody's there, you're not worried about a tornado. I've been touched by Jesus today. What's a tornado going to do to me? He didn't do that to me today for me to die in a tornado this afternoon. He did that so I'll go out and testify that He lives and that He's true and that His power is in the house. He set before all of mankind the same choice He gave to Adam and Eve, to choose life in Yeshua Messiah or to choose death in yourself. Which one are you going to choose? I've made my choice. When you choose yourself, you automatically set the devil over your life. I'm going to decide for myself. I think that I have to do it this way today. I think I can. It's okay for me to break the law of God today because I don't care what you put in that blank. It's wrong. Wrong answer. Wrong answer. People say to me, well, Pastor, I'll lose my house. So? So? I've lost a house. I lost a house over keeping the Sabbath. I've lost jobs over keeping the Sabbath. I lost a house over third tithe. So what? I said it right, third tithe. We don't even ask you to third tithe. We've done it. We just ask you to give God your first tithe and save your second tithe for the holy days. We didn't ask you to pay third tithe for the needy and the indigent. It doesn't matter what you're asked to do to obey the Lord God Almighty. It just doesn't matter what the consequences may befall you. Losing jobs, so what? See, it's easy for me to say that because I'm not one of the guys who was a minister man hired out of college and who always got a salary and his house wasn't affected and his job wasn't affected and he's never had to go through a trial. No. Your pastor is a man who's lost his house over the Sabbath and lost lots of jobs over the Sabbath and lived on food stamps and I've had to do all that, right? I've been tried like you're being tried. I've gone through. I'm here to tell you, I have gone to church with not even condiments left in there, and Lanice and Raina split the last egg on the way to church, and we had no food in the house and no money to get food. I've done all that. And you know what? We didn't miss any meals. Do I look skinny? Don't be too close in the front row, man. God provides. You just have to have faith in Him enough to obey Him and come in the house of God and worship Him in the Spirit. I tell you what, man, that combination is so powerful. I don't know how anybody can mess that up. You got to choose life. You know, we have that banner at the temple. The rabbis call the Torah the tree of life. And the two spindles, they call the branches. And all the pages glued together, they call the leaves. We have that up in the temple. He's the tree of life. His words give life. And when you walk in that life, and the whole purpose of being Spirit-filled is so that you will have the courage to step up and make the change. That you will have the courage to praise Him in the trial. The courage to praise Him in the trial. The courage to praise Him when you lose your job. You lose a job. You're supposed to count it all joy. When you get to lose your job over your testimony for Jesus Christ, that you're going to live His laws and commandments for Him, that's the difference. But see, in the old days, we didn't have that level of the Holy Spirit, and often we would come in the house of God and cry our eyes out that we're going through this great trial. We should be able to come in the house of God and praise Him in a loud voice, raising the roof in the place, because I got to lose my job for the Sabbath. Look, I'm going to call her out, right? Beverly had somebody who was going to die of cancer. And someone asked Beverly, what would you do if you only had 8 days? Boy, the hand went up and the head went down and the Spirit came on her. And she goes, I would praise God for 8 days because I'm going home.
Hallelujah.
See, when you are Holy Ghost baptized, nobody can threaten you with death. Come on now. I told a story twice already this Holy Day session here about my friend in the Presbyterian church who said, if hope against hope, that somehow I'll be good enough to make it. And I'm just sitting there dumbfounded, right? I'm just like, either the sacrifice of Christ is good enough to get you in or it ain't. But see, when you're not Spirit-filled, you don't have the courage. And when you're not living by Torah, you always have doubt. When you're living by Torah, there should be no doubt in your mind if you're good enough to make the kingdom of heaven. And when you're Holy Ghost baptized, you should be full of courage.
Yes.
I've walked out Torah to the best of my natural plus His supernatural ability to do so. I don't worry about what's going to happen to me because I know I already brought it home. See, that's the difference. Torah is the teaching and instruction of God for how to handle your flesh on planet Earth. You live in a jar of clay, and the Torah is the owner's manual for how you're to take care of your flesh on planet Earth. Would you put sugar in your gas tank? Everybody laughs. Of course I know I'm going to put sugar in my gas. That would be silly, Pastor. Would you put diesel fuel in your gasoline? No, because... Would you pull your spark plug wires, huh? I don't like the way they look. They're not arranged right. I don't like that pattern. Let me just pull the wires and put a different pattern on there. See, we talk about these things in the natural and everybody gets it right. But then people in Spirit-filled church want to go to lunch and eat pig and shrimp and then they want to come up in the prayer line for prayer. Well, we can't pray that off of you. I don't care how powerful we are in the Spirit of God. If you went to lunch and ate pork on purpose, just get happy because you're going to deal with the consequences of that. There's no praying that off of you. Likewise, for Torah observant people who don't want to get in the Spirit of God, they might as well just go out and pull the spark plug wires off their car. Why aren't I getting a word from God? Why aren't I getting fire? How come I'm not feeling the move of the Holy Spirit? The Spirit's poured out on the Moed, y'all. It's poured out on the Moed. This is the Moed. This is the Holy Day. This is the outpouring. You're sitting in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit today. The Sabbath is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit because He sanctified the day. Why would anybody want to miss that? Why would anybody not want to have that power and that Spirit so that you can be energized? And every one of us should be walking around like the Energizer Bunny. Dung, 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 dung. Because we're full of God's Spirit and it's just going on, man. Man, I got it. I got it. I got life in me. I got life in me. I got life in me. Yeah, I'll lay hands and pray for you. I got life in me and I can feel Him in me. I can feel it going. And when the Holy Spirit starts to moving, man, I got to be moving too because the power's in me.
Yes.
Coming to life. I tell you, if you're in rebellion to God, He's not going to give you His power. Why would you think He would? You see, without the Torah and the Spirit combined, it's very hard for people to get their minds around what's actually going on. I fear sometimes to hand out the books. I do, because I know if they're not really motivated, they're going to misread phrases and take me out of context. What does God want from you? He wants you to be His child. He wants you to be His son or His daughter. Okay, now, I know we were talking about some of my younger pictures last week about how I had the monkey face and all, but my children don't look like monkeys. They don't look like cats or dogs. They look like their mother and I. God is not going to make children that don't look like Him. He's trying to take you in a body of mud in which He placed a spirit. The spirit of the human being, the spirit of man. And He is using your trials and the spirit filling to recreate you, to transform you into His very own image. Didn't Jesus say God's a spirit? Wasn't that what He said? So you've got to take your trials and your tribulations and the power of the Holy Spirit, walking out obedience under duress, and let Him transform your lowly body of mud into a glorious body like His. We talk about Yeshua Messiah, who was not a created being. He was with God in the beginning, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. But He came down and put His spirit in a body of mud just like yours and mine. And He is created in the sense that His body of mud was transformed. He went through that transformation process just like He's going to bring us through. And so here we are on the last day of unleavened bread, and I'm asking you, do you believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Yeshua Messiah? Because if you believe in the resurrection of Yeshua Messiah, you believe that His body of mud, just like yours, in which a spirit was placed, was transformed to the one we read about in Revelation with His face shining like the sun, bright and glorious. You're going to be just like Him, y'all. He says He's the older brother. He says you're going to be heirs of Christ and co-heirs of God. That doesn't mean you're going to be restored to Adam before the fall. You're there now if you're Holy Spirit baptized. You're already restored to Adam before the fall. He's recreating Himself in you. That's the greatest story never told. Why people want to tell you their theological stories instead of the greatest story never told, I'll never understand. That is the greatest story never told. So as we stand here on that beach the same way they did, where do we go? We go forward where the Holy Spirit is going to blow a path through the Torah for us to be able to walk it out the way He intended. Come on, somebody. Why am I always so hard? Because time is short. Time is short. There's no time to play. There's no time to play. We scarcely have enough time to get the people ready. And you know what? There are probably people out there that God wants in here that He hasn't brought yet. And they're going to have to go through this whole same thing that you've gone through already. Look, it's taken me 26 years. And I'm a short timer compared to Brother Dwayne. He was in this before I was even born. He was in this before my parents graduated high school and met and all the rest of it. And these people are going to have to make this transformation in months and maybe weeks and run this whole gamut. That means every one of us has got to be solid and every one of us has got to be sound and every one of us is going to have to be able to come over and befriend the new people as they come in and take them by the hand and walk them through the process. It's never going to be all about the minister, man. It's going to be all about us as a body. That's why we don't have a corporate organization, because that would stop the spiritual organism from doing its thing. Because when you got to sit down instead of following the word of God and have a board meeting, come on. Look, I did all that when I was in high school. You have a constitution and bylaws and a board meeting and elected officers and votes and elections. You can't do all that stuff when you're going to follow the Ruach HaKodesh. You've just got to do what Hashem says when Hashem says to do it. And what if Hashem says, I'm going to do it through Miss Sandy today, but she's not elected on the board? Then that means we can't do it because we didn't follow the protocol of the man-made rules. I don't think so up in here. I don't think so up in here. We're moving the way Hashem says to move, who, where, and how, and with He wants to do it, and we'll worry about all the other junk later.
Amen.
This is an organism, not an organization, and we're going to keep it that way because we want to always be able to change and move and flow the way the Holy Spirit is changing and moving and flowing. 1 Corinthians 13. We got to get serious about this, or we'll be left behind. Those who really want to get with it barely have enough time to make it. We say that in years go by, right? But what you, some of y'all didn't get because you weren't here, is this message was already preached once and very few people stuck around that heard it the first time. We've been talking about Torah Observant Spirit Filled now since 2003. A lot of people aren't willing to walk in the fullness of both. We're constituted for the fullness of both. Why are we constituted for the fullness of both? Because the fullness of both is what Yeshua Messiah said would bring Him off the throne and into the room to manifest His presence. He's not trifling. He's not playing. A little dab here and a little dab there is going to leave Him right on that throne next to the Father, looking and going, well, if you want to pull His manifest presence out of the heavens and into the earth, you have to do it by following the instructions that He gave. How did Rabbi Rock say, we want the same cake, it means we got to follow the same recipe? If you want the power and the presence of Yeshua Messiah that they had in the early church in the book of Acts, then you have to live the same way of life that they had in the book. They were all Jewish, I believe. They all kept the laws and commandments, and they all prayed in tongues. Go back and look at it for yourself. Now look, I came out of a church that didn't accept that, and when I read it, I tried to read over it too and read around it and read the other stuff into it. But when you come back in the book of Acts, you can't take it out of there. It's all over the place. So we're either going to do what they did to get the same results they got, or we're going to do it our way. Oh, but we already read, but if we do it our way, we're putting ourselves as God and we're taking Him off the throne. Not doing that here. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. Greet one another with a holy kiss. I'm in 2 Corinthians. That's why that's not going to work. I'm not even going to preach that. How did Ray Wooten say that? We're not doing that again. No, we not. Now we see, but a poor reflection is in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now we see, but a poor reflection is in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Do you want to know fully? Do you want to be fully known? Do you want to have that clear vision in the Spirit? Then you got to walk in the Torah. God is not going to grant you clarity of sight in the spirit realm until you are walking His laws. You know why? Because if you go in the spirit realm without your life grounded in the Torah, you're going to be enticed and drawn away by a spirit. And you're not going to be following the spirit. That's why so many Pentecostals blow up. They blow up because they don't have the anchor that goes behind the veil. And that's the Torah. You've got to have that walk in the laws and the commandments, or you're going to blow up in the spirit realm. It's just that simple. God's not a respecter of persons. He's not going to let you do it while he doesn't let everybody else do it. If you want to have clarity of sight, you want to have sound vision, if you want to be able to, the Spirit of God inside you, interpret for you what you're looking at, then you've got to walk in his laws and commandments. Otherwise, you're always going to be subject to and enticed by another spirit. We've got to get out of sin. We've got to quit transgression Torah, especially if you're going to be spirit-filled, because it's deadly. Deadly. If you work on the Sabbath or the holy days, if you eat pig, if you like uncleanness, then you're going to be persuaded by a demonic spirit. I love Kelly's book so much, Ekathartos. Ekathartos is the word God uses in the New Testament to describe unclean food. Ekathartos is also what God uses to describe the unclean spirits. If you're eating Ekathartos food, you're going to be led by an Ekathartos spirit. Simple as that. If you want to be led by the Holy Spirit, then you've got to carry your flesh according to the rules for holiness that you find back in Leviticus. And that's a lot more rules than just the dietary laws, folks. You've got to go back and you couldn't go in the temple unless you were a priest. Now, I've read to you so many times about Revelation chapter 11. So many times how you've got to be counted in the heavenly temple worshiping God. That's something that you're going to do in the spirit. Your flesh is never leaving planet Earth. I got news for you. Your flesh was born on planet Earth. Your flesh is going to die on planet Earth. No matter what the spirit of man inside you does, your flesh is chained to time and this planet. But if you're ever going to be counted in the heavenly temple worshiping, it's going to happen with the Holy Spirit and you. And you're never going to do that as long as you don't walk by that Torah. And there are rules for the priest, and that's the ones we need to be focused on. It is not enough to follow the rules for the Israelites as a whole. If you want to go in the heavenly temple, you got to follow the protocol to get in. Come on, somebody. If you as an Israelite tried to get in that temple, you would be killed. You weren't even allowed to go up to the altar of sacrifice. Forget about all that. You gave the priest your animal outside the gate, and he carried it inside. The only way to go in is to be a priest. And the only way to go in is to follow the protocol. Okay, he's Melchizedek. The priesthood has been transferred to him, and you were called to be a kingdom of priests. I don't have time to go into that, but we've read that in here a lot of times. So you should know those verses from 1 Peter, and you should know those verses from Revelation. You were called to be a priest. Okay, are you living up to your calling? Are you still wanting to walk around like somebody out in the street? You were called to be a priest of God Most High. So are you looking up the rules for the priesthood in here as modified by Yeshua in Ezekiel chapter 45? Or are you still walking around like a lay person out there? Come on. Come on. What do you want for your life? Do you want to have vision? Do you want to get in the heavenly precincts? Do you want to follow the protocol of heaven to have those kind of first-class God encounters? Or are you still just wanting to holler and scream outside the gate, hoping maybe somebody will hear you? Ooh, we preaching now. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. People ask me all the time, how do you see that in the spirit? I don't know. God opened my eyes. You know, we used to play that song all the time. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. And I was just crying out, God, please open the eyes of my heart. I want to see. After about the third or fourth time I started seeing, I'm like, oh, God, please close the eyes of my heart. Oh, God, please close the eyes of my heart. Oh, God, I can't handle what I'm seeing. But the third time he started reading somebody's mail to me, it's like, God, I can't take this anymore, man. I'm blowing up on him, man. I can't deal with this. I don't want to see that. I just don't want to see it, man. Y'all think I'm crazy. You ever see in there one time, you'll know I'm not crazy. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness, their end will be what their actions deserve. Demons aren't running around ugly trying to scare you. They're not jumping up from behind a tree going, ah, I'm a demon. They're not doing all that for you. They're not coming around to your house, some ugly three-horned monster going, oh, I'm going to get you, I'm going to get you, I'm going to get you. No, that's not how they work. They come to you dressed Y'all ever watch that show, Angel something, was it? The show with the angels? Touched by an Angel, yeah. You remember the time when the one angel was being tempted by the devil? He drove up in a Mercedes. Remember that one? Y'all ever see that one? He didn't come up all ugly in the red suit looking nasty. No, he drove up in the Mercedes. Hey, baby, you want to get in? I mean, the devil does not come to scare you. He comes to entice you to sin. The devil's the one that comes up to you and goes, that little bit of work on the Sabbath won't hurt you. The devil comes up to you and goes, it'll be okay if you stare at her a little longer. You know how bad they treated you at work? Go ahead and take it. They really owe it to you after all. And after you pray in tongues one time good and strong, he's going to come right around to your house and he's going to go, that really wasn't God's spirit. You were just gibbered like a fool. Come on. Every person that we've ever had pray in tongues has always called me about a week later and asked, you know, I got to thinking maybe that wasn't right. Are you sure? How do I know? I have all these thoughts of doubt. Where do you think all the thoughts of doubt comes from? He's coming to your house to talk you out of the move of God. Doesn't matter which way it is, he's coming to talk you out of it, because if he can keep you trapped on one side or the other, he's got you where he wants you. If you're going to go through the sea and you're going to go to the promised land and you're going to have your God encounter at Mount Horeb, you've got to kick him to the side and you got to go through the path made by the Holy Spirit and walk it out in the Torah. There's not a second option. He didn't give you three or four different paths. He gave you one path. He didn't blow three paths through the sea. He blew one path through the sea. And that's the path you've got to follow. They'll try to entice you away and they'll make it sound good and they'll get you into some apostasy. Doesn't matter which one it is or which way that you got to go. And when they can't dazzle you with brilliance, they're going to baffle you with cow manure. That's just the way they work. When you walk contrary to the Torah, the devil's minions are taking you back into bondage. And that of your own free will, captive to the devil. Let's go to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. You know, once upon a time, I was in the Worldwide Church of God, and it was the greatest experience of my life for a very long time. But when I came out of there, I decided that I wanted everything from the Church of Acts, not just part of it. Now, we talked about earlier, I hit Rockman with this one, and it kind of messed him up. In most of the world, you have spirit-filled church that has nothing to do with Torah. And in most of the world, you got Torah church that has nothing to do with the move of the Holy Spirit. And they don't mix. Come on, we've been around. A lot of y'all have been with me when we went. They don't mix. You go to Perry Stone's, you talk about Torah, man, they freak out. You go to our former churches, Churches of God, you talk about the Holy Ghost. And they look at you like you got a demon and they escort you out of the house. Don't want you in there. Don't mix. You know what makes it mix? We had an ordination here, right? We used the holy anointing oil. Those ingredients will not mix in oil. Did you know that? We had a brother Rick Eckerd, and he did the research on this and he found out it says that you combine them according to the manner of the apothecary. What's the manner of the apothecary? He ran into a very, very, very old pharmacist that started his practice in the early 1900s. And how you mix them is you got to salt it. They won't combine without salt. Torah church and Holy Ghost church will only combine with the Hebrew roots. That's what brings them together. That's what brings the combination together. That's what makes it happen. That's the only way you can put it together. But you know what? If you go back and you look at the book of Acts, you find out that's the only way it was. That's the only way it was. They had the Hebrew roots. Amen? Because they hadn't come out of it and lost it yet. They never had anything but Hebrew roots. You'd have to tell them Hebrew roots. That's the only way they knew life existed. That's how you put that together. That's how you put it together. That's how you keep it in line. That's how you keep it safe and sound where you can trust it. Torah observant people, filled with the Holy Spirit to the outflow and the demonstration, all living by, they thought they were Jews. They thought they were just Judaism. They didn't know there was a difference. That's a lot more Hebrew roots than most of us are accustomed to. Think about that one for a minute. They were still going to the synagogues and the temple. They didn't know any change. Change? What change? See where I'm going with this? We should be able to go to that temple down there at West Grand and meet with them on Friday night. And other than their lack of observance, they shouldn't know the difference. And I'm going to give Brother Hopper credit because he's the one that taught me that the Jews don't need to be saved. Matter of fact, y'all don't know it. He doesn't always know it, but most everything you see in there is stuff he taught me. He made the way for this. Pull me aside and say, well, brother, have you thought about this? You think maybe that's the way we ought to do it? Or maybe we should have done it? I got thinking about it. You know, he's right. Let's do it that way. He's the one that started all of this. Acts chapter 19, verse 13. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. And they would say, in the name of Jesus, who Paul preaches, I command you to come out. And seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. And one day the evil spirit answered them, hey, Yeshua, I know, and I know about Paul, but who are you? And then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them, and he gave them such a beating they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. And when this became known to the Jews and the Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. And many of those who believed now came and openly confessed their evil deeds, and a number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. And when they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachmas. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. Now, these guys got this beating because that's what happens to Torah observant brethren who aren't spirit-filled. They don't have the power to back up what they know to do with their intellectual acknowledgement. Intellectual acknowledgement is not enough. You've got to back it up with a demonstration of the Spirit's power to bring it all the way through. Now, you saw what a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit came with this because the name of the Lord Jesus was held in great repute. Many turned. Look how many sorcerers came to the Word and came back to God. Look at the revival that broke out when they had a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Come on. We had a lot of Torah observant brethren who don't have the fullness of the Spirit of God. They don't want, but just so much and no more. Went through a lot of hard times. A lot of churches busted up. They didn't want any more God's Spirit than they already had. We said no. Oh, we already have enough, thank you. We have all we need. Turn to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 19. How can you ever get enough of God's Spirit? How can you get enough? When you're laying there on the ground, shaking like a leaf, quaking violently, praying in tongues as fast as your mouth or faster than your mouth will go, how can you have enough? I never get enough. Man, I can be unconscious and don't get enough. Keep pouring it in. I want more. I don't mind what people think anymore. You know, that's what happens to you after you obey enough and you've been willing to obey through and you see how God delivers you. You don't care anymore. I don't care that I lost my house. I don't care I lost the jobs. Now I don't care if I lose my friends over being spirit-filled. I don't care. Why? It's all God. And when it's all God, it doesn't matter. Because you know what? We were in the car coming back from Murfreesboro. I think it was Dan that said, God and I make a majority in every situation. Right? He's Revelation 3, verse 19. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. He's knocking. And there's a whole class of brethren who aren't answering. This is terrible. It's time to accept the Lord Jesus in all of his glorious fullness into our lives. Not telling him how much. Why would you want to tell him how much of him you can take? Why would you tell him, oh, only so much, Lord, that and no more? No, we need to be saying, Lord. See, you got to understand the concept of the wedding. You got to understand the concept of the wedding. When you come to the wedding night, what are you going to do? Oh, we'll just hold hands, honey. It'll be all right. You see, coming into this Spirit power and letting him overpower you like that and not telling him no and not telling him we'll only hold hands and it's the wedding night, Lord, and I am going to fully surrender to you, and you can have all of me you want. And Lord, see, you see something Dwayne taught me is he's the masculine, we're the feminine. Now that was a hard thing for me to really get my head around because I had been molested as a child, and I just, you know, there was just a little barrier there, and it took me a while to resolve and work out all those issues in my corrupted software. Come on, that's what it is, right? I mean, we computer age, we understand. My software was corrupted. I couldn't deal with being the feminine. It took me a long time to resolve that. And I had to work that out before I could receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit because that was my issue. And once I got that resolved, I got that worked out in my corrupted software, then I realized, hold on, now it's just exactly the way it is with my wife and I. She's supposed to respond to my overtures, not the other way around. So when the Lord is coming in the power of the Spirit, we're supposed to respond to His overtures. And when His overture is, I want to go all the way, but He's a perfect gentleman. The least hesitation on our part, the least on our part, and He's backing off. So if you ever want to be in that fullness of His Holy Spirit power, you can't have any hesitation. You can't have any, I don't know. You've got to just be completely, yes, and I want all of you. That's why you can pray for some people, and they want it, they think, and you want them to receive, you know, but they still got unresolved issues inside that they have to reconcile. They still got software problems that have to be fixed before they can, because any hesitation on our part, and the Lord's not going to overpower you. If you really, really, really want to be overpowered and overshadowed by the Lord Almighty, look, He overshadowed Mary and there was a baby to prove it. You hear what I'm saying? It wasn't just she got intimate with the Lord. There was a baby to prove it. I think that was part of what Rockman was telling us, wasn't it not? That I've been intimate with the Lord and I got the children to prove it. That's what tongues are. The children to prove it. The children to prove it. We gotta have the fullness of His Spirit. He's knocking at the door. We're in the last days. The King of the South is coming together. All of the things are happening. Europe is arming up to the teeth. You realize the euro is about to replace the dollar as the world's reserve currency, right? You're watching this go on in front of your eyes? They've already built the Tower of Babel and brought the thing together. The Lord is standing at the door knocking. When are we gonna say, Lord, it's all your way, and I have no hesitation. I'm perfectly responsive to your will. Man, we're on a holy day. What is His will? His will on a holy day, first obedience, but we're all here. That's done. Second is the outpouring of His Spirit, the manifesting power of the Spirit of God. What's the third component? Our responsiveness to that outpouring. Come on, somebody. Pi Hahiroth. You're standing at Pi Hahiroth between Migdol and the sea. And the Lord is wanting to get intimate in this place with every one of us. And He's wanting to pour His power out. But the next thing is we've got to be receptive. We've got to be responsive the way a wife is to a husband. Because the Holy Spirit is that masculine aspect He's pouring out. And we've got to be the feminine to receive. That's some deep teaching right there, y'all. He's knocking and we got to answer. It's time to accept Yeshua Messiah and all of His glorious fullness into our lives. Not telling Him how much, but rather telling Him, yes, Lord, all of you. The Holy Spirit is Jesus living in you. Why would anybody want little? The whole picture of that, Jesus living in you, is the picture of a husband and a wife in intimacy. He's the living bread from heaven. If we take Him in, we'll never die. Didn't we read that at Passover 3 or 4 times? He's the living bread. If we take Him in, we'll never die. How could we ever say, I only want a little of you, or I'll take about half? How could we say that? Galatians chapter 3. Verse 24. So the law was put into charge to lead us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. I think the old King James uses schoolmaster in that verse, doesn't it? Schoolmaster. The school out? The school out? You out of school? Show me your diploma. You got a diploma? You show me your diploma. I'll show you my report card. When you quit school early, you're a dropout. I don't see anybody at the beam of judgment right now. We're all still in school. So you're either going to class or you're dropping out. Where's your report card? What kind of grades you bringing home? You know how we'll know? How well you walking out Torah. How well you operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's your report card. You got a report card? You've been going to school? These are the things that lead you to Christ. They lead you to Christ because He walked out a perfectly sinless life. He lived the Torah without fault, without blemish, without defect. How well are we walking it out? Okay, well, obviously your flesh is not going to walk it out real well. So that question would rather be phrased like this. How well is Jesus living in you? How well are you submitting to Jesus trying to walk His life out in yours? How well are you standing out of the way and saying, yes, Lord, have your way in me? Well, I'll tell you how well. How intimate are you with Him in the worship? How intimate are you in the worship? Because when you're not intimate in the worship, He's not walking it out in you. You're still trying to walk out your own life. Guess what? You ain't going to do it. You ain't going to do it. He'll walk it out in you, and He'll walk it out as sinless in you as He walked it out on planet Earth in His own body. Why? Because He's living in your body. Is He living in your body? Or have you got Him chained in a box? You got Him locked up in a box in your heart? Have you given Him free reign, or you still got Him in the box? Well, you know, Lord, you get into stuff I don't like you into, so we're just going to lock you up in this little box over here because we don't want you getting into that favorite little sin I got and spreading it all around everywhere and kicking it in the floor. See, we've got to learn to let Him have the preeminence and to let Him have the control. You know, that's the primary issue with tongues. You realize that, right? We want control. We want the control. I'm not willing to give Jesus the control. Well, does He live in you or not? If He lives in you, it should not bother you if He says something out of your mouth you don't understand. And if He's living in you and you really trust Him, then you've got to understand that anything that He lets come across your tongue is going to be the right thing. Like I said before, you can trust that it's the Spirit and not a Spirit by your walk in the Torah. Your walk in the Torah. Give Him all your members. There are 1,100 known languages on this earth. Known. There's probably some not known. Because we're so proud of ourselves that if we don't know about it, it's not known. There's at least 1,100 languages and dialects on this earth. And you know what? Most of us don't speak good English. We got an English major in here that'll tell us. We don't speak good English. And we want to say whether or not what we're saying is a language or gibberish. You've got to learn to trust the Lord. You've got to learn to trust the Lord. You know, that's how you get a prophecy too. People say, oh, I got a word of prophecy. Really? You know, when you get a word of prophecy, you don't even know what you said because you trusted God to speak with your mouth and He spoke and someone else has to write it down or you'll never know what's said. And the one time, same way interpretation comes, the one time I tried to listen to what I was saying, I blew it. You can't listen to what you're saying. It's not coming through your brain. It's coming from your mouth. The Spirit comes up and out. And if you try to listen, you short circuit the whole process because it's not for you to hear. Come on, somebody. We got to learn how to do this. The Church of Acts did it, and that's the kind of church He's coming back to. We've got to learn how to get proficient in these things because that's what He's coming back to restore. It's the restoration of all things before He comes back. The heavens must receive Yeshua Messiah until the restoration of all things. We must look like the Church of Acts before He's going to come back. Aren't you tired of this mess? Aren't you ready for Him to be back? Haven't you had enough already? Haven't you seen our brethren in Kenya suffer enough already? Do they have to kill G. John before we get on fire? Torah leads you to Jesus. The devil's the one that lies to you and tells you that Torah's done away. Yeshua is the perfect fulfillment of Torah. That means He lived it perfectly. Your living it brings you closer to Yeshua, and walking away from it makes you closer to the devil. When you take your flesh in Torah, then in the spirit realm, you have Holy Spirit power. You have word from the Lord and victory over the sin and the demons. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 2. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or believing what you heard? The Torah is for your flesh. The Torah is for your flesh to bring you closer to Yeshua. Believing is for your spirit, how to walk in Jesus' power. It's just that simple. Living by the law of God gives you sight in the Spirit, clear vision, and power over all the works of the enemy. When you walk contrary to the law of God, then you have clouded your vision, confused your mind, and given the enemy power over you. Doesn't matter if it's only one day. Oh, I only worked on one holy day. You're done. Stick a fork in you. It's over. You'll get word in the Spirit, but it won't always be from God. Not everything in the Spirit's good. There's the demonic realm in the Spirit. There's counterfeit. This is how you tell the difference, right here. The whole world, Word of God is how to judge spirits. You know, I love the one. Oh, well, any spirit that's from God says Jesus came in the flesh. Okay, well, for that particular heresy, yeah, okay. But there's a lot of religious spirits that will tell you Jesus has come in the flesh and then tell you some damning lie that will rack up your life. It takes the whole Word of God. You don't have the luxury of reading devotional verses. You need your whole mind immersed in this word. That's why I don't teach Torah Parsha. Why would I do that? You need every word. Every word. You don't have time for a Parsha. You need the whole thing. If you're only doing one Parsha a week, you're in trouble.
Right.
Now, once you've got it, then you can start focusing in. But you got to get this whole thing loaded up in your software now. Yesterday is not fast enough. Y'all didn't get that. Yesterday's not fast enough. You need the whole thing in there. James chapter 2. You need it. You need every bit of it because you live in perilous times. And there are lying spirits walking around this earth right now. And they'll take you out either way. They'll tell you that the move of God's Spirit is false and wrong. Or they'll tell you that the Torah is done away. It doesn't matter which side they can take you on. If they can shipwreck you on either side, you don't have the fullness and you're not walking. You're either going to drown in the sea or you're going to stay on the beach and be carried back into bondage. You don't have a choice. You have to walk through the path made by the Holy Spirit. And if you're not walking that path made by the Holy Spirit, you will drown. On the other hand, if you don't walk out Torah in your life, you're going to be on the beach and Pharaoh's going to haul you back to Egypt. James chapter 2, verse 14. What good is it, my brothers? Excuse me. If a man claims to have faith but has no deeds, can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food, and one of you says, "Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do." You believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Yitzhak on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, "Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend." You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by mere mental acknowledgement alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. And that means you've got to have faith in the whole complete package of the book of Acts.
Yes.
The whole package. You don't get to pick and choose which way you want to go. If you want to be spiritual, then your flesh has to walk by Torah and your spirit by faith in Jesus. There are no exceptions. John chapter 3. Brother, when you get to 76, just turn it off. Verse 19. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love the darkness instead of the light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be plainly seen that what he has done has been done through God. This is how to have vision in the spirit realm. You walk by this word. He is the light. He is the light. This word, the Torah, the rules and the teaching of God for how to carry your flesh on planet Earth is what's going to give you light in the Spirit of God. It's what's going to give you vision. It's... Come on, somebody. It doesn't say in the last days he's going to pour out his spirit on all flesh and young men will have visions and old men will dream dreams. If that's not going to happen in the church of God, where is it going to happen? If it's not going to happen among the brethren who keep his laws and commandments, where is it going to happen? If it's not going to happen among the people who are living this way of life, where and how is it going to happen?
Amen.
We're in the last days. Don't you know in 2014 we're going to start having bloody moons and sackcloth suns over Jerusalem on holy days? It's time for these things in the church of God. When you do wrong, you hide in the dark. But when you do right, you come out into the light. Do you not see that living wrong takes away your vision in the spirit? Didn't you see the movie Pinocchio as a little child? Didn't you see when the bad boys carried him away, he turned into a donkey? There's a lot in that. If you think about that a while, there's a lot in that. When you come to Torah, you get saved. Didn't you see that even Pinocchio had to have redemption? Slide in there.
Yeah.
Living contrary to the Torah makes you subject to the demons who will take you astray in an effort to destroy you. Oh, and you still may be saved, but you're going in the great tribulation. See, people want to wonder about some of this stuff. You can be saved and not have works. But when you enter into God's kingdom, you have nothing. Well, I don't care, Pastor. Let me tell you why you do care. Because you see, the crown that goes on the people who do these things, and you know, the one I especially want is this big one that goes over here that says, I kept all God's laws and commandments. You know why you want that? Because when we all gather around the emerald throne of the Father in heaven, you're going to want something to throw at his feet and worship.
That's right.
It says the 24 elders pull off their crowns and throw them at the feet of the Father, but they keep reappearing on their head.